We are up to Zion Amid Beis. And today, and tomorrow probably, we are leaving Masechtas Nida to, again, like the Gemara does many, many cases, it now branches out based on something. The second line of the wide lines, Zayin Amid Beis. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Halacha Karbel Yezeh Ba'arba. In four cases in Shas, that's what it sounds like. The Gemara is going to change that. But in four cases in Shas, we pass Kamar Karbel Yezeh. Chaza Damaran, what is the case we just said? That Rabbi Yezeh said that the four ladies of Masalek Azamim, Psula, a girl that never had a period, Eskena, postmenopausal, a Muberis, and a Menika, right? And Rabbi Shua argued, and Rabbi Yezer, we passed him like Rabbi Yezer. And the other three we're now going to bring down. So we're now traveling away from this parrot, from this sugya, and we're talking about three different sugyas, where there's a Machlokes Rabbi Yezer Drabonon, and we passed him like Rabbi Yezer. Three other cases. There are many more cases than the Machlokes, but in those cases, we don't pass him like Rabbi Yezer. What is number two? V'idach. Okay, the halacha is as follows. A woman who's a zava, that means she had a period, and within the next 11 days, saw dam three consecutive days. Again, in those days, there was differences between a nida and a zava. And a zava required seven clean days. So a woman that's a zava and then gave birth. While she was a zava, she gave birth. Now, she has two kinds of tumas on her now. She is a zava, and in those days, again, something we don't do today, a woman who gave birth had days of tuma and days of tara. For a boy, she had 7 days of tuma and 33 days of tara, which meant after 7 days of tuma, according to one maliyamar, we'll say, we'll just pick the chumra de kamaliyamar, she stops seeing blood, she goes to the mikvah, and then the next 33 days, the blood doesn't make her tummy. By a girl, it was 14 days of tumma. She stops seeing blood. She goes to the mikvah. For the next 66 days, the blood doesn't make her tummy. But this woman is also a zava, because she was a zava prior to giving birth. So she needs seven clean days. Not enough to stop seeing blood at the end of 7 or 14. She actually has to have seven clean days. So now, this woman that gives birth while she's a zava can get rid of her tumas later, but it won't help her because she's going to remain tamei till she has seven clean days. That's the halacha. Now, what happens if a woman saw 3 days prior to birth, but she was in labor? Does she become a zava? This woman was a nida, went to the mikvah. While she was pregnant, she was a nida. She was in a late stage of pregnancy, and she became a nida. So now, she goes to the mikvah, and now, in the days, the 11 days, she saw 3 days consecutively with childbirth pains. So that's not a zava, because pains, blood that comes with childbirth pains, is not zivus, that's leda. That is attributed to birth, because she's having labor pains. And since she's having labor pains, we attribute the dam that she sees to labor pains, not to zivus. What happens if she had labor, she saw blood, and then the labor went away? Stopped. Happens. Women have labor and it stops. Now, was that labor pains causing the blood? The labor pain stopped. That means obviously it wasn't real labor that caused the blood, because had it been real labor, it would have resulted in a birth. And now there's a time in between that she stopped having labor pains, which means the previous labor pains, we'll call it, I'm not a doctor or a scientist, false labor. And false labor is not Matari Zivas. So how much time, if it stops, do we say it cancels the labor pains? How much time of quiet in between her labor pains and her birth do we say that the original pains were not labor pains? That's the question in the Mishnah. So this woman had labor pains for 3 days, and she saw dam. Right? She's not a zava because she's having labor pains. And had she given birth now, we would say she's not a zava she keeps her 7 or 14 boy or girl, and then she goes to the mikvah, she has days of tara. But now this woman, let's say she had labor pain Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and then the labor pain stopped. And then she gives birth. During labor pains. During those 3 days, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, which can make her a zava. But it doesn't make her a zava because it's labor pains. But now the labor pain stopped. So now the question is those 3 days labor pains or not? It felt like labor pains, but she didn't give birth right away. And she didn't continuously have labor pains. It stopped. So there's a machlokes tanoim. One tana says 24 hours. If it stops for 24 hours, that cancels the labor pains. We say those pains were not labor pains, and she is a zava. And the other tana says you need it has to stop for a day and a night. It has to be not 24 hours, but it has to be, what does he say? Rashi doesn't say what he says, but if I remember correctly, the other Tana says, right, it has to be a night and a day. It has to be a night and a day. Meaning, it's not enough 24 hours. I mean, it doesn't need 24 hours. It needs a night and a day. Well, it's just 24 hours. But 24 hours over, if it's not a whole night, the whole day, it's still considered labor pain. It's not hours. It's a night and a day. We're not going to get involved in that machlokes. We'll leave that at Meretz Yisrael for the fourth parak. But there's a machlokes there. And there we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. So that's the second place that we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. So let's read it inside. Hamakasha, a woman who's in labor pains. Kama tishva b'tei zava. How much does the labor pains have to quiet down that we should attribute her blood to being a zava? Me'eis le'eis, divrei Rabbi Eliezer. He says 24 hours, and halacha kedvarav. We paskin like him. That's the second case that we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. Rashi. Dr. Rashi. Hamakasha. Rashi is about six lines after the Gemara starts, at the beginning of the line, Hamakasha. Machmas Vlad, because of a baby, B'taych Achadasa Yoyim Shabay Nida L'Nida. It's an unusual case because pregnant women don't become Nidas. But this woman became a Nida during her pregnancy, in the late stages of her pregnancy. And then she went to the mikvah and she was Tahira. And now she's in her 11 days, even though she's pregnant, right? And she saw 3 days with labor pains. The kashasha shloishi yamim ritzufim. She had three consecutive days of labor pains. B'chol yom rasadam. And each day she's had a discharge of blood. The kaimelon, the ainu zava machmish shloishi yamei kushui. She doesn't become a zava because of days of labor pains. Litan shiva nikiyim. That she should need 7 clean days after childbirth, the carbon. And then zava has to bring the carbon. The siv, ki yazuv zayv dama. The pasuk says she will flow a flow of blood. But the shinim ebnei tzkusim, and the Gemara later on darshans, the dama machmas atzma. It has to be blood that comes out naturally, but loy machmas blood. Not that it was caused by a baby by labor pains. Vim sofsa min atzar. What happens if she quieted down from the pain? She'am de beloy tzar, la'achar shloy shiyam. The labor pain stopped. V'yolda. And then she gave birth. Nisgala hadavar lebefreya. This reveals retroactively. Shaloi ba hadam machmas ablad. That the blood did not come because of the baby. Varehiya let us bezaiv. And she's considered a woman that gave birth while she was a zava. But shricha shiva nikiyim lebad yamei tumas leida. She needs 7 clean days besides tumas leida. But shricha shnei karbanas. And she needs 2 karbanas. Echad lezaiv ve'echad leleida. One for Zivus and one for Leda. The Kama Tishva.
They can't come together.
She doesn't have to have clean days for Leda.
No.
For Leda, a woman can see blood 7 days. Stops. Even that to Machlok is whether it has to stop. But let's say the Chumrah. It has to stop 10 minutes before she says. She goes to the mitzvah 10 minutes before Shia. She goes to the mitzvah. She's tahara lemaila. And the next 33 days, if it was a boy, even if she sees dam, she's tahara. And if it's a girl, after 14 days, she's coming for 14 days, regardless if she sees or not. And then at the end of 14 days, it stops, goes to the mitzvah, next 66 days, she's tahara. The dam is tahara.
The zav
needs 7 clean days.
Beyond the 14th?
No, it could happen during the 14th. But it has to be clean. That's the difference. Later does not have to be clean.
14 days is blood.
It can be blood to the last minute. And the one man, the Amma says, it can continuously bleed. And while she's bleeding, she can go to the mikvah and it becomes dam tahor without stopping. That's going to be a machlokes in the fourth parish. But that's not Negeyas now. Now the question is she a Zava? She saw 3 days, but it was with labor pains. Then it stopped. So now those 3 days were not labor pains. But how long does it have to stop for us to say that? So that's the Machloikas. So, Zuckerberg says, the Kamatishva, Tamayt B'Tanuach Mitzara, how much does it stop and rest from the pain? La'acharash Loishu Shokushi, after 3 days of labor, will take Zava Lemifreya Machmas Akushi, and she's considered a Zava even though she had labor pains. Meisle, in Shavsha Mechatzayis Hayyim Zeh, Akkeis Mocher, if the pain stopped, and Rashi picks an example, from noon today to noon tomorrow, Ikul Meimed Allah Mishim Blood happened. That tells us it's not a baby, but Kavina Beki Azav Zayv Dama, and she's a Zava. Upolig Alei Rabbi Shua Alei Bepeis, my school, so many argues. So that would be case number 2 that we passed on the Bliyadra. Again, it has nothing to do with what we're learning in the first parish. But the Gemara is going to give us 4 halachas of Bliyadra that we passed like him. We had our case that the 4 women are Meshulekes Damim, and that's case number 2. Now we go to case number 3. Ve'idach. This is the Ge'el halacha, but only because of the Chumrah that every woman who sees Dam treats herself like a Zava. Have 7 clean days. Now, if you know that from halacha, a woman has to check herself. She has to check herself every day during those Zayin Nikiyim. What if she didn't? Which ones have to be done? And if she doesn't do it, she can't become Tahira. Zog the Mishnah. Hazav Hazava, Shabbatku Asmam Yoim Rishon. They checked themselves the first of their clean days, Umasatar. They made one check. Day 1 of the Sheva Nikiyim, and they found themselves good. Yom Shvi, Umasatar. Then they did 7. They skipped 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. They didn't check themselves. And at the end, number 7, they did it, and they found themselves. Ushar Yom and Blei Batku. Rabbi Yezer Aymer, Harayelu B'chetz Kisara. Rabbi Yezer says, she's good enough. She can go to the mitzvah. She had 7 clean days. She didn't check herself every day. How did she know she had 7 clean days? The answer is, if 1 was clean and 7 was clean, we say that's good enough. There was Shuaimer, Ein Lamo Yoimer, Rishim Yoimer, Shri Bobat, which is very difficult, Chita. The Yeshua says she counts it as 2 days, the 2 days that she checked. Because Rabbi Yeshua holds is a chiv to be cipher it, to count it. Counting requires a check. If you didn't check, you can't count towards the 7 days. The suffer Lord Shiva Nagim. She has to do an act to make sure she starves. Not, she can't count them. So day 1 counts, day 7 counts, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 don't count.
She needs 5 more days.
She needs 5 more days. Yes, you have
questions. She counted 1,
she didn't count 2, 3, 4. Counting is not enough. She has to do a petite, that's what Yeshua says. It's a rabbinic or biblical that discussion and wherever we get there, which is in, I think, paragraph number 6.
So she counted 7, that's really 2.
Right. And Rabbi Kiva, I remember, Ein Lama Yad Shri Bobat. Kiva says, only 1, the last day. The first 6 don't count. By the way, we pass now local Lama, so we don't believe that. That a woman who does a Badika day 1 and day 7 is good enough. But Tanya, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yitzhi, I remember, Nira, Nira, Rabbi Yitzhi, but Nira, Rabbi Shua, but Nira, Rabbi Kiva. I'm sorry, Nira, Rabbi Shua. Rabbi Yitzhi makes more sense than Rabbi Shua, because Rabbi Shua is the one that says it counts as 2, which, like, if you think about it, it's a very difficult thing. If you're counting 1, that means you're not afraid she became Tomei. So if you're not afraid, so why don't you count the other day? And if you are afraid to be game tame, so why don't you count? Why are you counting it? That's why Rebbe Elazar makes more sense. He said you can count all the days. But then Rebbe Akiva and Rebbe Kula. Rebbe Akiva makes the most sense. He didn't count. So nothing counts except day seven. Abba Allah is Rebbe Elazar. So here we have the third case that we postulate Rebbe Elazar. Rashi. Zok Rashi, Shabbat Kwatzman, Kishapaskum Yzaivan, when they sap their zivas, Hutsuchu Lisba Shivaniki and Beloiria. They have to count seven clean days without having a ria, without seeing blood. To the fifth, the suffer light. Batku Atman Rishon Rishvi, and they check themselves day one and seven. Hushai Chamishi Yamim Shibin Tayim Loi Batku. And the five in between, they didn't check. Cheskes Tara, Hayu Tchilasa B'Saifa B'Tara. Rabbi Yezir says the first one was good, and the last one was good. But Taibu La'er Shoshvi, and she sewed in a mitzvah after 7 days. Ela Rishon Rishvi, Utsrichim Limnoi Zayit Chamishi Yamim. You have to count 5 more days. The Chayshish in Shema Rol B'Tayim. We're afraid, maybe she saw. Miu, he have a Yadda Mavada Shirasa B'Tayim. If she knows she saw in between, Sosla Menachia Sarishin. Then it wouldn't. First one wouldn't count. Everybody agrees that if she saw Adam, it's Eitzer. Rachmana Amar, the Achar Titoher, Achar Vukulon. It has to be all 7 clean days. So they say Tumam of Sekhus Bintayim. Cannot have any Riyas Dav in those 7 days. Abahashta Chashashi. Here it's only a worry. Umayna Luserika. So Yeshua says she can count day one and count day seven. She can't count the in-between days and she doesn't know for sure she didn't see Dav. But we're not really worried she saw Dam, because if we were, we wouldn't be able to count one. So that's why Rabbi Shua is the hardest one to understand, because he's like cutting it in half. We count day one, because we say she didn't see Dam in the middle. But at the same time, you can't count the other ones, because maybe she did see Dam in the middle.
So, this is
Bedika's
commit, right? I mean, like we do today,
underwear doesn't matter. No. Bedika is a Bedika. Like a woman does. A real Bedika. Eliyahu Shribovad, the Shema Rasa Yamim Shibintayan. Maybe she saw days in between. The Susras Tara Shema Rishon. And it ruined the first day, the Kulu Nakia Vina. You need them all clean. The Sivacha Titor, Akaraka Lukulam. Right, you repeat it again. There have to be all 7 clean days. So it's Eight Tumam of Sekhus Bintayan. Then Rabbi Yaisi and Rabbi Shimon came along and said, we like Rabbi Eliezer better than Rabbi Shua. So Rabbi Eliezer history me dies of. He's consistent, Xavar. Human declares him the same Batara, Makhakin and Anilam Tar Batara. Since the first and the last are Tar, we assume the middle are Tar. I'm Rabbi Shua. Human them Tar Chayes with Tumma. He doesn't count 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. He's worried that you saw this to retire same mission. Rabbi Shua is the difficult one here. He counts one, but he doesn't want to count the rest. Period. But we pass him like Rabbi Yezer, even though Rabbi Kiva says we only count day 7. And that Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yaisi Fio is the best one. But Halacha Rabbi Eliezer. So that's case 3 where we pass Halacha Rabbi Eliezer. Now we move on to case 4. Now, to understand case 4, I have to introduce a concept that we haven't really had since Masechtas Chagiga. And that is as follows. Biblically speaking, and I mentioned this last week, an Ava Toma, a Gesheret, an Avela, a person who touched a maid, a Zav, Anida, Azava, Amatira, they're all Avatamas. If they touch something, that becomes a Rishon. With a person or a Kaili, they touch it, becomes a Kaili. A Kaili cannot be Matama another Kaili. A person who's a Rishon cannot be Matama a Kaili. Can only be Matama food and drink. And food and drink, by Chulin, can't be Matama anything else. Except Truma. But we're not interested in Truma now. We're talking about Chulin. Came along to Rabbanon and made a huge chumrah. A huge chumrah. They said that liquid that's a sheni can make a keli tame. You hear what they did? They took a liquid that's a sheni that biblically can't make anything a chulin tame. Liquid that's a sheni, if it touches a keli, the keli becomes a rishon. It becomes more strict than the liquid it got from. It's a rabbinic tumma. Biblically speaking, there's no such thing. Rabbinically speaking, they said, liquid that's a sheni can make a keli tamei rishon, which can then make a sheni. And this can repeat itself many times. The liquid sheni makes a keli a rishon, which makes a liquid a sheni, which can make another keli a rishon. All rabbinic. No biblical come here. However, what? We'll see in the Gemara as we go along. That was their Chumrah. Now, came along Rabbi Eliezer, and he made a kula in that. In the Chumrah, he made a little bit of a kula, which is about like this. Now, I'm sorry. Let's get back. However, the Rabbanan came along and said, it's a big skillet, that it makes a difference which part of the keli the liquid touched. If the liquid touched the inside of a keli, we're not talking about the cheres, any keli, then the keli becomes tameh. If the liquid touched the outside of the keli, then only the outside is tameh, but the inside is tar. The keli itself is split into two. If the liquid touched the inside of the keli, every part of the keli becomes a rishon. If the liquid touched the outside of a keli, the outside of a keli is a rishon, and the inside of a keli is totally tar. Because they wanted people to remember that we're dealing with rabbinic tumah. So in case tumah touches it, we won't burn it. Because it's not really tumah biblically. So they made these things. Here it is, they said, you have this keli. Touches it on the inside, it's all tameh. Touches it on the outside is tameh, the inside is tahar. That's what they said. That's what Rabbana said. So now,
it's like a
klicheris, except by klicheris, you touch the outside, it doesn't become tameh at all. This is saying that the outside becomes tameh, not the inside.
This chumrah is the inside or outside of
it? It says if it touches the inside, and then the whole keli becomes tameh. If it touches the outside becomes tameh, and the inside is tar. Again, all rabbinic. Biblically speaking.
Rabbi?
Yes.
I'm sorry. So, rabbinically, what did they decree? If actual truma touched the outside of a keli, would they force them to burn it? The
no,
outside.
You can't burn it. You can't burn anything that's just rabbinically tameh. What they would do is, they wouldn't eat it, they wouldn't burn it. They would leave it. You can't burn rabbinic tumah, because biblically it's not tameh, and therefore you can't burn tumah that's not really tameh. But they said, rabbinically we won't let you eat it.
Do we know why they did this? Was it everyone was just so
lax? Later on. I mean, I'll be honest with you, after you hear the Gemara, you might still have questions, but at least let's give the Gemara a chance.
Okay.
I don't know if the Gemara will say it or Rashi will say it. Yeah, the Gemara will say it. So let's get to the Gemara. We'll give the Gemara a chance. Bida, Litnan. Achayre Kalim Shinitmu Bamashkin. This rabbinic tumah of the back of a keli that became tameh through liquid. This is a rabbinic tumah. This liquid was a sheni. It touched the keli on the back. Right. Zuck Rashi. We're going to do Rashi along so Rashi can explain. Achayre Kalim, the second wide line. The Amina Lekamban, Acharayim Tameyim. As we will say later, the back is Tamei, V'taychei Tahar. And the inside is Tahar. The Tumas Mashkin L'Tamei Kalim. The ability that liquid that is Tamei can pass that Tumah on to Kalim, Durabbanan, is only rabbinic. V'hachi Hu Degazer. And this is the way they made their decree. They should not be metame the inside by the touching of the outside. The time of Mefarish Mechairis, and the reason is explained in Mechairis. Of the Rabbanan Hekeira, Bahach Tuma, they made a recognition, a simon, a reminder in this Tuma, the lady into the Midrabbanani, to remind people it's rabbinic. So they said the outside's tameh, not the inside. So we shouldn't burn truma and kachim. Okay. Shenitmu b'maskin. it became tummy from maskin, zok Rashi, umaskin b'sheretz, the maskin that touched the dead sheretz, the havi rishonim, right? It's a rishon. V'loy metamu kelim, b'daraisa, even if it's a rishon cannot be metamu kelim. El adatoma, the only thing that can biblically be metamu kelim is an adatoma. Rabbanu d'gazer. So yad achayri kelim shenitmu b'maskin. Back to the Gemara.
What did the maskin become? Dead sheretz is in a pot of water. What is that water now?
A rishon.
Water is a rishon?
No. It touched the grav. Biblically.
Biblically. When a rishon touches water, what does that become?
Sheni.
So in water, there's two...
That's what it touched.
Got it. Okay. This
Rabban,
this decree
Rabban,
is only from a
Rishon? No. Even from a Shani.
Okay. Why did you give the example?
Because I don't know, I was trying to say, even from a Rishon, it's only rabbinic.
The Rishon. Oh, it becomes a Rishon. Oh, okay. But now it's for it to be
with Tameh. For it to make a Kalim Tameh, it's rabbinic. Totally rabbinic.
Now
this Kaili, that the back became Tamei B'maskin, Rabbi Eliezer Eimer Akula, Metamin as a maskin, Ve'ein Paislin as a Eichlin. It'll be Metamei liquid, but it won't make food Tamei. Now, we'll get to the words why it says Metamin and Paislin in a second. So Rabbi Eliezer says, okay, we have this Kaili. This Kaili was touched by liquid that's Tamei. On the back. So only the back is Tamei. If this back touches other liquid, that liquid is Tamei. If it touches food, that food is Tahar. I mean, you have to know Hilchos Tumah Tahara. It was extremely complicated. It was not simple. That's what Rabbanan said, according to Rabbi Eliezer. Now, why does he use the word metamin and paislin? Because metamin means it can still pass on tumah. This liquid becomes a rishon. When it touches the keli, which is rabbinically tameh, when that touches other liquid, that liquid becomes a rishon, because the keli becomes a higher level tumah. And then that liquid can pass on tumah. The chulin, the food that touches it, is totally tar. It doesn't even become pusel. Pusel means it's tummy, but it can't pass on tumma. The liquid becomes so tummy that it can pass on tumma, and the food doesn't even become tummy at all. That's what Rabbi Eliezer says.
What's pusel? What is the pusel here?
That means pusel. Liquid is tummy, and the food is kosher, is tar. Yeah, somebody had a question on the phone.
You're not talking about the keli's contents. You're just talking about the outside of the...
Outside of the keli. Right. This keli can touch liquid, even if it's chulin, and make it a rishon. Rabbi Eliezer said, even if truma food touches the outside, it won't become tameh. Because the keli is really not tameh. It's only rabbinic. They didn't make it for food. The back of the keli can't be metame food. That's what Rabbi Eliezer said. Let's read Rashi. Not Rashi. Sinit mubabujit der Rashi. Metamin et hamaskin medrabona. Why did they pick on Rabban now? Why did they differentiate between liquid and food? If it can be metame, it should be able to be metame liquid and food. So Rashi now introduces a concept. And that is called the kivan da'alulim l'kabel tumah. Liquid is more apt, for lack of a better word, to become tumah than food. Food has a lesser chance of becoming tumah than liquid. Why? The answer is, food doesn't become tumah unless it was once wet. You washed your apple, it's susceptible to tumah. If the apple was picked and was never washed, it will never become tameh. Liquid becomes tameh without any precondition. Therefore, liquid is more apt to become tamei by than food is, than solids. And therefore, we're more strict with liquid than we are with solids. The Rabbanan treat liquid more severe because liquid is the one that's probably going to become tamei much more often than solids. Let me try to explain. A yid that kept tumah tahara in those days tried to keep his food from ever becoming wet. He didn't wash his apple and put it in the fridge. He didn't have a fridge. But he didn't wash his apple and put it away because then it would become tamei. If he didn't wash his apple, he doesn't have to worry about the apple becoming tamei. So he didn't try to keep their food as dry as possible. So a person that had food that grew from the ground, or right, it wasn't moksha l'kabel tumah. It was never going to become tamei because he kept it dry. He never had that option by liquid. There was no way he could prevent liquid from becoming tamei.
When it was growing on a tree, it never had...
Does it have to be when it's off the tree? That's a good question. But the Mishnah says it only becomes mukshar after it's off the ground. This is tree, this is wheat kernels. You can grind wheat into flour. It's not makabel tumah. It hasn't become wet yet. You can store flour. It won't become tamei because it never got wet yet. You can store your apples. You can store anything that grows in the ground dry, and it won't become tamei. Now, ultimately, you want to make bread, you're going to have to make it wet. But that's at your discretion.
Something like figs and dates.
Same thing.
They get wet.
Why do they get wet?
Now they have
a ooze. May pears is not moksha. The oozing doesn't make them moksha. It has to be one of seven liquids. Yeah, chakadam. And it's water is one of them, fruit juice is not. And they did it for any fruit.
It has to be the dots is to want the water on it.
You want the water, period. You don't have to want the water on it. You have to want the water to do something. If I need the water to fill up my cup of water, then it's maksher. If I don't want the water at all, then it's not maksher.
Oh, you don't need it.
My das doesn't have to be that this food become wet. My das has to be that I need the water for something. But that's not sure, you know, which you're 100% right, that you have to have das to want it.
So then you can plan, you can have a blanket statement that you don't have to worry about it getting wet if you don't want the water.
Correct. But that's more complicated. I tried to make it less complicated by saying you can keep it dry. But you're right.
Does fruit juice need that sure?
No. The fruit root juice extra, no. Because it's not food once it's out of the thing.
But the Rishon touches it. The orange juice.
Right.
The Rishon touches that.
It's probably tamei because it's liquid now. It's not solid.
But where did the extra come from? Extra
doesn't have that extra. It's a liquid.
The only food solid.
Correct. This is the problem by honey. Honey a liquid, honey a solid. Does it need extra? Not need extra. It's one of the seven liquids, so it is a liquid. But the Gemara talks about what if the honey congeals. Is it now a solid? Is it not a solid? Honey is a liquid. It's one of the seven liquids that are moksher. But it congeals, it's no longer liquidy. This is what they talk about, but it's not true. You know, it's is somewhere else. Not here. So let's continue to Rashi. B'taminus ha'maskim midrabanan, the kivin da'lulin, they're apt. They're more apt. L'kabel tumah, b'tama b'choldu. They become tumah quicker. Lias rishaynim. Listen to what happens. The keli was touched by a rishon. The keli became rabbinically tumah, touches liquid, it becomes a rishon. And that rishon will be matam echulim. That means that liquid can be matam echulim food. The keli won't be matam echulim food. I mean, if you follow this, it's like mind-bogglingly complicated.
We're talking about if he just touches the thing, keli, from the outside?
Doesn't matter. Inside is worse. We're talking about on the outside now.
Like you poured water on it.
It hit the outside of a keli.
And then it now becomes a
I don't know exactly what you're talking
about. Water.
Again, you have a keli that became tamei from a liquid. A tamei liquid touched the keli on the outside.
And so now the keli becomes...
Tamei only on the outside.
Only on the outside.
Now that keli on the outside touched a different liquid.
Okay. Or the lezer holds... That's the point of Machlekes?
We haven't gotten to the Machlekes yet. We're explaining Rebbe Eliezer. So he says that liquid becomes a rishon.
That liquid.
And can be metami chulin food. But if it touches food, that food will be totally tar. Not the liquid touches food. The back of the keli touches food.
But the water that we just...
What water? We're water.
Liquid. The liquid that... You said it can be liquid, but not food.
Right.
That liquid now has...
It's a recent litoma. And it can be metami other food.
It can't be metami other
food. Even chulin.
But the source that made it...
Can't. Right. The aim part is on the cycle. Rabusik Tani, saying a chiddish. Now, fill in mifsuloi possibly. Because if a fire's time of God, like the Gemara will explain. That's Rabbi Yezer's opinion. I'm a Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Yeshua said, I don't get it. I don't get it. Rabbi Yeshua said, Kavachimer. I can prove you wrong with a Kavachimer. Right? Here you have a guy that went to the mikvah. Tuyayim. Biblically, he's a shayni l'tumma. If he touches chulin, it doesn't become tamei. Even if he touches liquid of chulin, it doesn't become tamei. By Tuyayim, there's no rabbinic zeris. A Tuyayim is a shayni l'tumma. If he touches liquid, star. But if he touches truma, it becomes tamei. Right. So which one is more tamei? The liquid? Or the food. The food of truma is more tamei than the liquid of chulin. The tuyayim touches liquid of chulin, it's totally tar. The tuyayim touches food of truma, it's tamei.
Midiraisa.
The Rabbanan didn't add any trumas by tuyayim. It's an exception to the rule. They said tuyayim, no chumras to Rabbanan. But which one is more susceptible to truma? Food of truma or liquid of chulin? From Tuyayim, you see, that food of Truma is more. So how can you tell me that the back of the keli is metame liquid and not solid? When we see by a Tuyayim, he can be metame solid of Truma and not liquid of Kulim. And you want to say that the back of the keli is metame liquid of Kulim and not solid of Truma. Again, Rabbi Eliezer said that the back of the keli can be metame liquid of Kulim, but not solid of truma. That's what he said. I am not interested in chulin. Even truma. A tuyayim can metame solid of truma and not liquid of chulin. So to be sure, if tuyayim can be metame truma and not chulin, so shouldn't this be the same? Shouldn't there be at least the back of the keli should be metame truma? How can you tell me that the back of the keli is metame liquid of chulin and not solid of truma, but by tuyayim you see that truma is more susceptible than liquid of chulin?
Haven't ever
mixed the rice and the rabbanon? Zakti Gemara. I'm going to be sure of Kavachimer. Ma tuyayim. She'ein metame matzke chulin. Paisa leichle truma. Not metame liquid of chulin. But in Patame, the food of Truma, a Chayri Kalim, Shematame Maskin Tchulim, ain't a din surprise like a Truma? If the back of the Kalim can be Matame Maskin of Chulim, shouldn't it be Matame Salad of Truma? And the Beliezer says, a Chayri Kalim is Drabonon, Utoyayim is Deraisa, Rabonon be Deraisa, Loyavin and Kavachimer. That's what he said. Okay, so let me review this. I'm going to review this again tomorrow, but I'm going to review this now again. Midiraisa, an av makes a reason. An av can be metame a man or a keli, and food and drink. And whatever they touch becomes a reason. A reason cannot pass tumah to a keli or a man. A reason can only pass tumah to food or drink. By chulin, it stops right there. Chulin food, that's a sheni, doesn't pass it on. We call that pusel. We don't call it tumah, because tumah indicates it has the ability to pass on. Pusel is that it's tumah, but it can't pass it on. Just in a way of wording it, that you should know this is the end line.
Food. It cannot, even if it touches truma.
Yes, it can. Because truma can go to a shlishi.
It's not possible.
It's possible itself. It's over for chulin. It ends. The end of the line of chulin.
Also, possible could be.
It could be metamic truma. So now, again, biblically speaking, an av is metamic a reason. A reason can only be metamic food or drink. Chulin food or drink cannot pass it on to chulin anymore. Cannot. Came along Drabanan and said, liquid. That touches, that's a sheni, or a reason, that touches a keli, the keli becomes tameh, to the point that it can make liquid that it touches a reason. That means the keli becomes like an av. This sheni, which shouldn't be metameh a keli at all biblically, the Rabbanan said it's metameh a keli to the level to make it like an av atumah. Won't be madame people, but as far as food and drink is concerned, it's like an av. Now, Rabbi Eliezer, that's for drink. If the back became food, even truma won't become tamei from that keli. Because that keli is not really tamei. For drink, we're machmer, for food, we're mekel.
The keli
needs to be things kibul, like a knife. Whatever is makabel tumah. I'm not getting involved in which Caleb from Kabbalah. You'll never have to scale for that. That's good.
So if...
Now,
so,
come along to the Shua.
So if someone... Okay.
What?
I'll wait. Go
ahead. If someone now came along to the Shua and said it makes no sense. Biblically speaking, a Toyaim is a shame. They didn't add any rabbinic chumras by Toyaim. They left him alone. So Yom Sheni touches truma becomes a shlishi, salad. Touches chulin, not tamei. So which one is more tamei? Food of truma or liquid of chulin? Food of truma. Now by the back of the keli, you're saying you can be metamei liquid of chulin and not salad of truma. Why doesn't So Yom show me that salad of truma is becomes more tamei than liquid of chulin? Dr. Eliezer. Don't mix biblical and rabbinic. Biblical is biblical, rabbinic is rabbinic. Yes, what is your question, Mayor?
Okay, so if a Rishon has a cup of coffee, and he touches
star.
The outside, and the
it's
coffee spills.
Star.
What?
It spills?
The coffee now spills.
Is he touching
and it touches
the
outside? No, he's touching the outside of the cup. He didn't drink it yet.
Is the cup wet or dry? Is the cup wet or dry?
Well, when the liquid spills on it, it becomes dry. It wet.
At that point, he's metamic the liquid, which is metamic the candy from the back.
Okay. And that liquid touches...
Dry, if it's dry, nothing to worry about.
A little bit of cup on the cup.
So that liquid now, it spilled, and it touches some. It touches what to become tummy? Food?
It touches the back of the keli. So the back of the keli now becomes tummy.
Right. So then, but now the liquid continues, and it spilled on the table, and there was food there.
So again.
So it makes the food tummy. So makes.
Again. The liquid made the keli tummy.
Right.
Right. Then more liquid spilled, and that liquid
mm-hmm.
became a reason. It touches food, it's tamei.
Okay. Right.
If you now know this, you can go to the Eighth Perek of Brachas, which talks about whether you should wash your hands before you mix the cup of wine or not. It has to do with whether the back of the keli is tar, made the back of the keli is tar. To understand that, you have to know all these halachas. And he's very good brachas, but we're not learning brachas now. So I'm going to redo this Gemara again tomorrow, because we still have a little bit to go in here. But I hope I established at least some kind of basis that tomorrow we'll understand this easier. But again, it's very complicated, because Rabbanim made this chumrah on liquid being metame kalim, but when it came to tfuyayim, with a biblical sheni, they said, no chumras. He touches liquid, liquid's tar. Can't be metame any kalim. Not a sheni, nothing. He's a sheni, biblically. No chumras for him. They only made the chumras by liquid that came from a rishon, not from a tfuyayim. Tfuyayim, no chumras by him. That's how they wrote the rule. Everybody's having a wonderful, wonderful.